We really want to make sure that we're stewarding the people of our church and the people in our community well. And if it ever gets to the point where, you know, we're recording music that's going out to the ends of the earth, but the people in our church aren't being served anymore, and the people in our community, we're not able to go out and serve them anymore, then I think that would be, you know, that would be a problem.
Between the Grooves is hosted by James Curtis, music director and morning man in the Greater Toronto Area on Joy Radio, and Aisha Woods, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and musician. Together, they talk with artists and industry insiders to discover our connection between music and faith. You can connect with us on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Now, here's James and Aisha.
And we're back, Between the Grooves, James Curtis, along with Aisha Woods. How are you, Aisha?
I'm doing great. Gosh, I feel like we haven't spoken. It just seems like we had a little break or something.
It was a couple of weeks. I know you were off for a week, and I had some time booked off for a week as well. So we didn't have, we had a kind of some blank days as far as episodes is concerned, but we're back today. And
yes.
Conversation I've been looking forward to with Rock City Worship. It's part of Rock City Church.
They're out of Columbus, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's a multi-campus church environment as well. So I'd be interesting to see how they kind of facilitate all of that stuff with, Sunday morning worship along with the message. And and also get, get an idea from them on how the whole recording process works for them as well. Because a lot of times, especially in a church environment, when you're recording stuff, it's not something that you're making money at as compared to just part of the ministry to, you know, serve the church, as it were.
Right, right. So today we're going to be talking to Jordan and Patrick, right?
That's right. Jordan Bentley and Patrick Crawford, they're both worship leaders at different campuses for Rock City. Let's get into the conversation now. Welcome to Between the Grooves.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Finally. Can you tell us a little bit about, I guess, first of all, your church? Because Rock City Worship is part of Rock City, the church. And from what I understand, you guys are a group of, I guess, pastors and worship leaders, a bunch of musicians. Are they professional? Are they just lay workers? But you kind of serve, and I get the impression you've got multiple locations as well?
Yes. So we are out of Rock City Church in Columbus, Ohio, like you said. We have multiple locations in Columbus. Right now we're at four different locations. And so Rock City Worship, the recording, is an expression of the worship that exists within Rock City Church. And so, yeah, like you said, there's a team of pastors, some on staff in various other departments in the church. We have a lot of volunteers who've been faithfully serving on our Sunday worship teams for years, are a big part of the recording process and the music that we release under Rock City Worship. So ultimately, yeah, we are just a bunch of church people, you know, and we love serving the local church every Sunday. We're serving and we're leading worship, and this recording, the recording stuff has kind of just been an outworking of that, that the Lord has been just really gracious to give us the opportunity to do that. So there's a lot of hands that go into the music at Rock City Worship. So
you are each worship leaders in your own specific location.
Yeah. So four locations, and so we oversee the worship at those locations, and we also get to be a part of what we're doing with Rock City Worship with the songwriting and just music and live recordings and things that we've been doing.
So we will rotate from campus to campus on a given week. So we're able to kind of worship at the different locations that we have at times. But yeah, we're all on the worship team, so we're serving somewhere, one of the four campuses, pretty much every Sunday.
So for a given Sunday, the worship is local for each campus. And then the message or the speaking would be piped in from the main campus. Is that it?
Yep. That's how we will do it. And sometimes we get to do this cool thing called, we call it point to point, but basically, essentially, the worship team at our broadcast location will get sent to the other location. So it kind of makes it feel like we're all worshiping together at one time. So
oh,
it kind
that's
of
nice.
To all the locations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That typically happens after the message portion. So our pastor can also be part of that moment and kind of help lead that moment. And it's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, you get to play along with the main band, right?
Yeah, so essentially, yeah, we get to worship all together. All the locations get to come as one for that mm-hmm. moment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've always been a little curious, and we'll get into the recording side of things shortly, mm-hmm. but I've always been curious how it works with a multi-campus setting with live worship locally in each campus. How does it work out timing-wise to connect for the message?
Yeah, no, that's a really, really good question. So
crazy tech heads.
It's a great question. Essentially what we do is at our broadcast location, we will start our service or our countdown like 4 minutes before the start of service. And so then at our receiving sites, that's what we call the other locations, they'll start their countdown maybe 4 minutes later so that there's a bit of a buffer. Like there's about a 7 minute buffer that we try to keep so that we never run into an issue where a receiving site would be waiting on us to get the message, if that makes sense.
Oh, I see. So there is a bit of a delay is what you're saying? Like for the remote locations, for those campuses, there actually is a bit of delay. So you're not, like you say, you're waiting. You've got a few minutes of buffer, I guess, is the right word?
Yeah, because every location has the same worship set every week. So when broadcast starts early and receiving sites start a couple minutes later than that, broadcast will always be a few minutes ahead. So by the time receiving sites get the start of the message, broadcast is already about 7 minutes into the message. So they're always a little bit ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a smart way of doing it. I was always curious as to how it works. Like everybody, okay, we got to count it down to the second. 10 seconds, we go live to the main broadcast center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah.
So who, at the end of the day, is responsible for song selection and is there a team? Is there one specific staff person or how does that work?
I would say it is a team effort. We work with our pastor to make sure that the worship set is comparable to his message. So we want to make sure that it's whatever we're singing during the worship set is going to help explain the message, right? It's going to go with it and not just feel kind of like a random worship set with a message from our pastor. And so I typically will start that process and work through, hey, what does our church need in this season? What are the types of songs that maybe we're trying to just teach our church and how to worship, if that makes sense? And then also, what is our pastor needing from the worship set this week? And then also just like with different speakers, so I'll connect with the other speakers that we might be having if Pastor Chad is out that week. I'll get feedback from our team as a whole, and I'll ask like, hey, what does our church need in the season? What are y'all thinking that, what are some songs that we should be introducing to our church in the season?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. So there's 6 staff members that are in the worship department, and we operate kind of like centrally mm-hmm. and locally. So like my position at the church is I'm a location worship director at our Polaris location. So okay. I'm responsible for like the health of that team and connecting with them and building that team and things like that. But we all also have like central responsibilities that kind of influence the overall direction of the worship team. So like Jordan, choosing the set list and kind of mm-hmm. starting that, that's something that she'll do centrally, that all of the locations will kind of, you know, do the set list that she and Pastor Chad and whoever else kind of approves. And so there's a little bit of overlap mm-hmm. between central focus and then location specific focus currently.
Is there a central gotcha. Worship leader, or is that the alternating thing where you guys take turns?
In terms of like, I guess our staffing and our structure, Nathan Montgomery, he is like our central worship pastor. So he kind of oversees our team as a whole, but he's not necessarily at our broadcast location every single week, if that makes sense. So we do rotate mm-hmm. quite a bit. I would say because I'm our Hilliard or our broadcast location director, I am at the broadcast location probably most consistently, but then there might be seasons where we bring in some other worship leaders more consistently. But I would say I'm there the most consistently, but we do rotate in our mm-hmm. other staff members and worship leaders frequently to that location.
Yeah. So Nathan oversees like the really overall like vision and direction of the worship team. Mm-hmm. So he would be our central worship pastor that, you know, the buck kind of stops with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. How far in advance are you planning for services? Are you guys maybe a month out or 2 to 3 mm-hmm. weeks or mm-hmm. what does that look like?
Yeah, we typically plan as far as the worship set a week in advance. So we've been trying to do a little bit better where we're getting it like up to Thursday before that coming Sunday. Or the next coming Sunday where I'm putting the set together and working with our pastor to get that in front of him. But it has, our rhythm has been pretty week to week basis of planning the worship sets and connecting with our pastor on mm-hmm. what is going to work best for that Sunday. It also gives our pastor just flexibility as he's writing the message and as God is like giving him ideas for what that Sunday should look like. It gives him flexibility to like kind of let us know like, hey, let's try this weekend. This is what I feel like the Lord is laying on my heart.
How musically inclined is your pastor? I mean, can he sing? Can he play an instrument? Or is he just the listen to the music guy?
I kind of gathered that.
Yeah.
Just from you guys' conversation early on. It seemed like he's a musical person.
He is. He launched the church in 2011. He was actually the worship leader. And then he would lead worship. And then he'd go backstage and change his shirt and come back out and preach the message. So he was doing both for quite a while. So he plays, you know, acoustic guitar and he sings and he's got a great ear and really good musical instincts. So it's really that helps a lot when you're working closely with your lead pastor in terms of worship sets and how the music can complement the message. So mm-hmm. He's definitely musically.
But does that put pressure on you knowing that he has that ability?
So much pressure.
I mean, absolutely, right?
Yes. 100%.
But it's good. It's like a good pressure. It's good.
It's good pressure,
It keeps us focused. It keeps us, you know, trying to give our best each and every week. And
Exactly. Like it makes, makes us better.
It does. Make us better.
Worship's got to be on point.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the recording side of things. So how do you get onto the recording team? How do you get onto the roster of musicians and singers that gets to be part of the recording part of things?
Yeah. So that's kind of, I think, one of the cool things about our team is that the people who are on the recording team is very much like just God's providence over like a long period of time. Like so many, everyone on the recording team has been like faithfully serving in the church for years and years and years, even in our worship department.
Like,
most of the people here like were volunteering for years before they were ever on staff. And so I think the Lord really built the personnel of the recording team over several years, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And just the people who've really been there day in and day out and adding so much to the church over that period of time have just those are the people who are a part of the recording team at this point. So
does the recording side generate any income, or is it, not to sound too spiritual, is it a labor of love?
It's definitely ministry, a labor of love. Yeah, it's not something that we do as an investment. Like, let's put in this amount of resources and hopefully we can get, you know, 2 times, 3 times X amount of resources back out of it. We definitely see it as we see, you know, the other departments and ministries in the church. It's something that we pour into, and what we receive, you know, our return on investment is eternal, spiritual. It's people, you know, coming to Christ. It's people being edified and built up. It's the glory of Christ being on display, you know, all around the globe as people are listening to these songs and singing to the glory of Christ. Mm-hmm. Like, that is our return on investment. And so we see it very much as a ministry in that way.
Yeah, and I think our team, whenever we receive stories back of like certain songs impacting people and really impacting the season of life that they're in, I think that's like the biggest reward for our team. Like, because I think it could get so easy to kind of get in the grind of like the live recording. It was a big task. It was a big undertaking. But then when you hear the stories coming back of how people's lives were changed from certain songs that were written and just certain songs that we believe the Lord gave us, like for our people, it just makes it worth like everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are the recordings available for purchase or streaming and downloading on different streaming platforms?
Yeah, the music is available on, you know, pretty much any digital platform. So you can go stream it, you can download it, you can buy it. It's available pretty much anywhere you listen to music.
So everything costs money. I mean, just to record one song in studio costs thousands of dollars, potentially.
Right.
You know, a lot of times these days people have their home studios and they can lay some tracks down. But it costs a lot of money. And a lot of solo artists that aren't signed with a label don't really make money on the deal. And it gets them in the red if they're not careful. So,
Sure. So
what's the balance then for Rock City Worship? What's the balance? You know, where do you draw the line and say, no, this is going to cost too much? Is there is there a line drawn in the sand for that? Or is it like, let's just keep doing it? Like, we're hearing the responses from people around the world, and it makes sense to keep doing this. Like, but where do you draw that line? There's got to be somebody, you know, the buck's got to stop somewhere.
For sure. Yeah, I think as we look at the finances and the resources of the church as a whole, like a huge, huge value and something that we think about all the time is stewardship. And we want to be good stewards of everything that we have, not just the finances, but, you know, the time and the relationships and everything
yes.
else that the Lord has blessed us all with. Like, stewardship is the goal. And so
yes.
there is definitely a point where, you know, chasing this you know, even a good thing, even a ministry, like, it can get to a point where you're no longer being a good steward of what the Lord has given us. And what we really believe, I think, on this worship team is that first and foremost, like, we're called to this house of worship, this local body. We're called to serve and to love the people of Rock City Church. We're called to Columbus, Ohio. That's where the Lord has placed us in his sovereign wisdom. Like, we were born here and or moved here for a reason. And so we really want to make sure that we're stewarding the people of our church and the people in our community well. And if it ever gets to the point where, you know, we're recording music that's going out to the ends of the earth, but the people in our church aren't being served anymore. And the people in our community where we're not able to go out and serve them anymore, then I think that would be, you know, that would be a problem. So I don't know that there's like a definitive line in the sand where we know for sure, but just as we're led by the Holy Spirit and you know, really just humbling ourselves to his plans and his ambitions and not our own, he will kind of, you know, I think make that clear and keep us right, you know.
So how many songs a month or how many songs a year is the goal of Rock City Worship? Do you have an objective to say this is what we want to achieve by the end of the year, number of songs, or is it based on the fact that, hey, this is a really good song, we should record this, and then you just, like, it's a one-off each time?
I think it just honestly depends. Like, we write as a team consistently once a week. Every Wednesday morning, you'll find us in our writing groups writing together.
And nice.
So we try to keep that discipline. And so just depending on what comes out of those writes and what we feel like the Lord is giving us and what we feel like the Lord wants us to share with our church, I think is that that's really the determining factor of what we decide to release or produce or what songs we decide to finish. Like, one example is we recently were just working on a project that I think we're going to release later this year. And we originally had thought, like, okay, it'll probably just be like an EP, maybe four or five songs. That's kind of what we've done in the past. But we ended up with nine, and we just felt like, okay, these are some songs that we love and we feel like are what our church needs and what just our people need in this season. So we're just going to run with all nine of them. So I think I wouldn't say that there's necessarily like goals for a certain amount of songs. I think we just are trying to, again, like what Patrick was talking about, be good stewards with what the Lord has given us.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Do you guys do your recordings at your main campus, or do you go off site? Do you use a certain recording studio, or what does that look like?
We've done a little bit of everything, and we've recorded.
Okay.
The live recording was done here at our broadcast location. Our live album that we just released was done here in house. We've recorded at a recording studio in town. We have a little writing studio here where we've recorded some vocals. So it's a little bit of everything. Yeah.
That's nice.
Jordan, for the live recordings, how live is it? How much do you record live versus adding tracks afterwards, or perhaps having some of those tracks already laid down?
Yeah, no, that's honestly a great question. Just to give you a picture of kind of what the live recording looked like for us, the week before the live recording, we did a lot of studio work, and we were working out a lot of parts for just pre-production, sorry, not studio work, but pre-production. So basically working out a lot of parts and finalizing all the different instrumental parts that we wanted to do, finalizing vocal parts that we wanted to do. And then once we went to live recording, we had some of those pre-production elements recorded if we needed to fly them in for post-production needs. But we recorded everything live on the night of the live recording. We used a lot of the live vocals. Obviously, like, overdubs are a thing, and so we did some of that too, but a lot of it is live. What's cool about the live recording and getting to do those moments is, like, some of that stuff that isn't planned, you get to feel, like, in the room, and then you get to be a part of it when that project comes out. So, like, one example of that is on the last song that we did Praise the Lord, and we went back into the song at the end of the night. We hadn't planned on doing that. Tanisha, she decided, hey, like, I feel like this is the moment that the Lord wants us in and our people are with us, so we're just going to go back into the bridge. And so she was like, I'll let a rock cry out. And she just went off. And it was just really cool moment. Yeah. It was like, okay, like, our church is with us right now. Like, the Lord is leading us to do this, and we're just going to keep worshiping. Like, it was the 15th mm-hmm. song we recorded that night, but Ooh. We just kept going. We're like, Lord, this night is about you. We're just going to keep going. So,
and did that make it to the awesome. Final recording as well?
Yeah, we put that all in.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. It's so much fun.
I guess the most difficult thing I would find in a live recording is the fact that what you hear being physically there and what actually gets recorded is a little different. Like, the experience is different, but I just know that from regular mixing on a Sunday morning. If you just took that regular mix that you hear audibly and record that, mm-hmm. it would sound different. So I'm assuming sure. you've got each of those mics plugged into two different things, one for the live, you know, element, the actual live physically being there, and the other part going into the record mode.
Not exactly. We tracked, obviously, all of the everything that was going through the house and through the board. Like, we had a producer come in, we had a sound engineer come in to make sure that everything was, you know, sounding good. But I honestly, the mix that you hear is the same, very similar to what you heard in the room there.
Okay.
It wasn't a completely different feel or completely different thing. That was one of the main parts about doing a live album, is you want the album to feel as much like the room did as you possibly
yeah,
can.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure.
So that, you know, the mics that record the people in the room and they're singing along and all that type of stuff, that really was the point, and the goal was to try to get it to feel as much like the room as possible.
Do you guys play any instruments?
Yeah, I play keys.
I play acoustic.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm, yeah.
Nice.
And I play the radio.
Love it.
We need that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Thank you very much, both of you.
For yeah, all hanging it. Thanks for staying and rocking with us.
Yeah,
Rock
appreciate
City
that.
Worship.
There you go.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Well, many thanks to Jordan and Patrick from Rock City hanging with us on Between the Grooves this week.
Yeah, for sure. And right now we're going to check out some artist advice from one of my favorite artists, Monique Sade.
One piece of advice I would give is to prioritize rest with God. I think oftentimes we mistakenly identify ourselves as a worship leader before we actually identify ourselves as children. We just need to know that we belong. So after all the doing, just rest in Him, know that you're His, know that you belong to Him, so you don't get wrapped up in the identity of the doing. Because at the end of the day, when you're not singing, who are you? When you're not on stage, right. who are you? When you're not on platform, where do you feel you belong? You need to know that you belong to the Father. So I'd say make that a priority, to rest in knowing who you are in Him.
Can I just say that we had this very conversation last night?
That's wild.
Mm-hmm. So that's like an on-time confirmation.
It's definitely a good message, and something that you can often forget about, especially when you get into the day-to-day routine. You know, when you get into mm-hmm. the work mode, when you get into the business mode of things, you can forget right. to have that rest.
Oh, sure. No doubt. And especially when you have things pulling at you and vying for your attention from just on all sides, you definitely have to steal away and make that time priority. So thanks for that reminder, Monique.
Yeah, thank you, Monique. And thank you to Jordan and Patrick for joining us on Between the Grooves this week. We are back next week. We've got a great guest lined up, somebody that will inspire you, and you definitely don't want to miss that on Between the Grooves. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Faith Strong Today's Between the Grooves podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, would you consider sharing it with your friends, rating our podcast, or giving us some love on your socials to your amazing friends and followers will only help us reach more people. We'd also love to hear from you and share your feedback in an upcoming episode. Send your video or written message to Aisha and James on Facebook or X at Between Grooves and on Instagram at Between Grooves Pod. Or email us anytime, hello@faithstrongtoday.com.